just had a power disconnect, so we just reweave the thread. The last notion was that in chemistry there are all these molecules which are discerned and basically put in bottles and labeled and used for specific kind of reactivity, while in biology you see that molecules are always part of the environment in which they are formed, and in that sense also an expression of that environment and how processes form and transform in that environment. So when biologists look at the role of molecules, is always in their interchange within a larger ongoing process, and it is that ongoing process which chemists do not look at, but which chemistry actually replaces by a process which humans then impose or propose instead. When you look at biology, you see that all these molecules are connected, as Rudolf Hauschka showed, the cellulose, the starches, the sugars, the etheric oils and the alcohols are part of the same development, expressions of the same notion. And actually when you look at the plant, you can see the cellulose is more at the roots, it forms the structure. And the sugar is then the part that drives the engine, and the etheric oils are more part of the communication, which you then find in the flowers and the leaves. And the alcohols is, of course, let's say the spirit of the thing, where you express itself into the larger environment. So in that sense, there is a parallel, let's say an alchemical parallel, between the different aspects of, let's call it, the sugar system, in the connection of the roots, the stem, the leaves and the flowers in the plant, with the relationship of the cellulose, the starches, the sugars and the etheric oils, alcohols. In the body, in our body, we see that too. The digestion of sugar is part of what the liver does, and there you can see that the amylases break down the starches into sugars. The cellulose we actually don't do much with, as I mentioned before. It's the microbes in our body which can do that, break it down, see what we can get out of that. But in the liver system, then it would also go back to the liver system, and the liver system does a kind of interchange between sugars and fats. Sugar is where it is moving or can move the cells, and fats is where it can be stored. Again, if you connect the molecules up differently, they will appear differently and appear as a different kind of material. But in our body, the body cells are able to form and transform one type of molecule into another, and very specifically and very intentionally, very purposefully do that. Of course, there's billions of years of experience on the background of that, and all of those billions of years of experience are always in a context of a setting of nature. So in that sense, you can interpret it that processes which were already existing and taking place in nature are internalized into the body and used for a specific purpose as part of something else. And in that sense, the body as a whole is a kind of supercomputer where a programming line from one subroutine in nature and another program line from another other subroutine in nature are combined, so that a different kind of program can be operated within that laboratory which we call our body. So in that sense, there is a fascinating level of understanding of what, for example, the liver does as the energy householder in our body, working with the sugar and alcohol and fat group of molecules, in the same way that, for example, the kidneys works on the cleaning of the water, or the colon works on the elimination of toxins in a different way. And each organ in our body has a different purpose in that loop in which all of the organs are connected. I tend to say that all of the organs are one organ because each of them is a filter system. Like the sensory organs, all have a part of the sensation of vibration of the world around us. Likewise, the body organs all have a segment of the pie of the processing of the quality of the blood within us. The sugar processing in the liver is part of that, and this, by the way, also is understood in all the other forms of healing, where they compare the other organs to different qualities of people in the social system, so that the therapist who work with that can have an understanding of the differences of the qualities involved. And evidently the liver and sugar metabolism is then very important, because it is an energy level provider. It's one of the fuel systems in the body. But then, as you might know from people driving a car, it's good that you have fuel and the engine, but the system also needs to have a driver and a sense of purpose in where it's all going. So we can never look at these systems separately. So when we look at the liver and the energy system in the body, it is not enough to look at the food labels printed on the wrappers as provided by the shop. It is necessary to understand that all of this is part of a larger purpose and larger meaning. So in that sense, the fuel of the body needs to be understood also in this wider range of purposes that we have with our body. So we should not really look at food as the fuel that we put into our body. It's not that we go to a charging station and plug in and recharge the body, but as mentioned in the talks on food, we actually take in information from the environment in the food, and in the sugar system we see that too. And that is most explicit in the transition from sugar to refined sugar, because it is the transition from, let's say, contextualized information or information with meaning to decontextualized information, which would be called data. So at the moment that food is refined, which is an idea which comes from chemistry, that you can find materials and you can distill it, which is something that the alchemists already discovered, then you can isolate materials out of whatever it was found in and store those molecules separately. But when you take them separately, suddenly that whole interaction which you find in biology is no longer seen in chemistry. It is interesting that this kind of approach is something that you find in mathematics in the process called differentiation. Differentiation is something discovered by Leibniz and Newton, that if you look at the part of a motion of anything in nature, then by looking more and more into the detail of it, you can see how the change actually takes place at the minutest level. And out of that came the understanding of differential analysis, or the process of differentiation, that instead of looking at the whole, you look at part of it. And as somebody once said, if you cut up a mouse and study a mouse, you get a lot of information about a dead mouse. And that is also the difference between biology and chemistry. In biology, you're looking at living nature. In chemistry, you're looking at dead matter. And it is that transition which you see when food from nature is being refined. And in Ayurvedic medicine, is know that at the moment that you take in refined sugar, that the refined sugar will leach from the body whatever the plant would need in association with the sugar to process it. And those would be the vitamins, specifically also the B vitamin groups in this context, but also minerals, trace elements, and other forms of information in material or immaterial form, as it plays a role in the plant, because evidently in a plant it is part of the nature of the plant in connecting earth and water in the soil with air and light in the atmosphere. And that is what Rudolf Hauschka refers to when he says, okay, when you think of these molecules, think back of their role in the plant and think back of the different purposes of the plant. And then in that sense, in that plant, you never have refined sugar, because the sugar is always part of a chemistry, of an interaction by which the cell can do things in a different way. So with that notion of the refined sugar actually being a poison, because it comes without the information. It's a bit like the difference between the fireworks as they had it in China for communicating between people, and the explosives as they have them in the Western world, where they use the same kind of gunpowder to blow up things, to destroy things. There's this fundamental difference in the fireworks, if you use to communicate or if you use it to destroy. And in that same sense, refined sugar works differently than the complete sugar. And this is also quite well known in medicine, because at some point it was found that sugar, refined sugar, cannot be processed well in the body. And as it is called, they form amadori conjugates. Amadori conjugates are the deposits of sugar in the body outside of the bookkeeping of the normal body processes. In the food we have, we not only eat the apple, but we also eat the hologram of the apple in its place in nature. So the material always comes with the information. And in that sense, we do not eat sugar or anything else from the apple. We do not eat the list which is printed on the label provided by the shops, but we always need to look at all of the ingredients together with the ingredients which are not listed as a spectrum, in the same way that chemists will determine what kind of molecule they are looking at by measuring the electromagnetic radio spectrum around it. So they can calculate and tabulate which frequencies there are in the spectrum, and in that same way we can calculate and tabulate which kind of information or molecular relationships there are in the food that we eat. And just to give a characteristic example of this, while I was in engineering school, the Department of Physics had their open days. One of the stalls had a device for measuring the vitamin C content. And so they had apples, they had jam, they had other things in which the passerbys could look at the amount of vitamin C. And one of the people came by the stall, went to his garden, came back with some of the brambles which they had in the garden. And suddenly the measurement of the vitamin C went beyond the scale of what the device could do. And so they looked into that and discovered that in the brambles there were two molecules which are very similar, but because of a frequency coupling, there was a coherence and synergy between those molecules, as a result of which both together did much more than alone. And it's that kind of understanding which you find in nature, where you would have those molecules combined in the products growing in nature. But when you refine it, you separate out those two molecules, and suddenly that synergistic effect is no longer there. And that is that principle of differentiation. If you take it out of context, you lose information. You reduce what you see, but you also reduce the meaning of it. because what you see is still valid, but this is no longer valid in a more general environment. This is just more in a more specific and limited environment. In mathematics, they know this very well, because the counterpart of differentiation is called integration. And in integration, you look at what you know for the part and then reinterpret it for the larger context. And then it turns out that you cannot fit it just by itself. You actually need to scale it up or down in a specific way to make it fit. You need to put it on a pedestal so that it fits in. And that pedestal or that stepladder is called the integration constant. You actually need to add an extra value to it so that it fits. And it is that extra value that in mathematics you need to put in the integration constant, which you lose when you differentiate it, and you lose the information of the sugar when you refine it. So once you understand that, then it is clear that the problems that sugar causes in the body are as a result of that. Sugar with the spectrum of molecules around it, with which it interacts and with which it together forms a kind of operational cluster, is what is processed and recognized by the body. As I mentioned, that we don't eat the labels of the food, we eat the spectrum of what is actually in the food with all its synergies that it contains. So with the complete sugars, the body processes it as information. With the refined sugars, the body can only process it as data. Information is always related to the context, as is the context constant of integration. And data is without the context. So it is, let's call it, already towards disintegration. And that is what is seen in the refined sugars, which are then not processed properly in the body. They basically escape the regulatory system of the body. They go into the food, into the blood, and in the blood they are, let's call it a doping substance, which is not accountable for by the body. And it's intriguing that this is sort of similar to what you find with alcohol, which is related to sugar. Because if you look at what happens in alcohol, then you know that alcohol is a cleansing agent. You can actually remove grease with alcohol. But then once you realize that the cells are closed off by a double lipid membrane, double, which means there's two layers of lipid, which is a fatty molecule, it's a fat molecule. So the cell membrane is actually composed of fat. But alcohol, being fat dissolving, can actually go through the membranes of the cells. And in doing so, it upsets the body calculation, because the cell is like a CPU, a central processing unit in a computer. Cells calculate. And in working with the information in the cell, the organized structure of the cell water is very important, because the water in the cell is in a very confined space. It is actually at the limit between crystal and liquid crystal. Water in itself is a liquid crystal, which most often we see in the liquid state, but in the body it goes to that region where it can go between liquid and crystalline states, or microcrystalline states. And there are all kind of forms of water organization, like with the Buckminster-Fuller organization, the buckyball shapes, and many other shapes of coherence in the water in the cell, which is maintained by the cell and the electromagnetic fields in the cell, which have been described by Herbert Förster, Herbert Fröhlich. And so once you realize that in the cell everything is highly computed and very much specified in how it hangs together, then at the moment that alcohol can suddenly seep in and out, it disrupts that coherence. And that is also the effect that you see with people who drink alcohol, specifically when they drink excessive alcohol. It dissolves the membranes. People lose their identity, integrity. They sort of dissolve into an environment. They no longer have the capacity to well distinguish between themselves and others. They suddenly have the experience that everybody is their friend, or that they need to budge into everything. And I give this as an example because that what happens with alcohol, sort of effacing, erasing part of the discrimination specificness in the computation of the cells, you also find in a different way with sugar as it floods into the blood. The cells cannot process it, they cannot pocket it in the right places. And normally the positioning of cells in the body and the storing of the cells in say fat deposits and otherwise wherever it's used is mediated and regulated by enzymes. But if you have refined sugars, then you don't have the enzymes that normally would be in the fruits. And it is practical to realize that without enzymes things don't work well. That's one of the studies that they did in the food of the people in the old age homes in England in the 1970s and 80s, when the microwave started to be used more and more, they discovered that people had deep frozen food and they thawed it out in the microwave oven, and then they call it cooked it in the microwave oven. But afterwards they discovered that the people got sick out of that food. There was a Swiss research in which students participated eating frozen food which was thawed out and then cooked on a stove like that's normally done. Students who had it, they thawed it out and then cooked it in the microwave, or they thawed it out in the microwave and then cooked it on the stove. In other words, those who thawed it out in the microwave and cooked it in the microwave, and they had to break off, according to the information as I got it, they had to break off that experiment after 2 months because the students had AIDS-like diseases. The immune system collapsed because of the lack of the enzymes. By the way, there is an interesting aside to that one, that when they wanted to study the laying on of hands healing capacity of a nun called Teresa from Austria, they needed to have something by which they could verify in a scientific manner the effect of what she was doing. So they had enzymes and they put them in a microwave oven so that they broke down, and then by her laying on of hands healing, this woman was able to restore the enzyme, which was measured by measuring the enzyme activity. So in that sense, it was already well known that enzymes break down by the use of microwave ovens. And in the same way, you can then understand that if the old age people have the food but without the enzymes, then they get the food but they lack the capacity to digest it. And in the same sense, if you eat the apple with the enzymes and the sugar, then you can digest it. But if you have the refined sugar, then the enzymes are lacking and it doesn't work well. And as the enzymes are not there to help position the sugar in the place where it needs to be, you end up with what's called the Amadori conjugates, which are say strands of sugar which are spun in the body, a bit like cobwebs perhaps, just to give a evocative image. And like cobwebs, they end up all over the place, but because they are not associated with the activity of the enzymes, the body cannot unconnect them. So So in that way, the body gets more and more stuck together by these strands of sugar, and the body cannot undo that. So there are estimates, and there was a Scientific American article on this many years ago, that these Amadori conjugates might account for the origination of 96 or 106, probably by now, many more diseases. For the simple reason that this refined sugar, which is not, say, labeled as it goes into the body, and which is not put in the precise position where the body can work with it, has the effect on the body as that of dropping a cherry into a sugar solution. You end up with a candied cherry, which basically means that the cherry itself is solidified, it becomes hardened, and quite literally it is stuck together. So imagine the same effect in the body, and then see that the effect would be strongest in every place of the body where microcalculations take place, such as the smallest blood vessels, or in a nervous system where very fine line connections are being used, or in organ filtration systems where the boundary between one tubule and the other in the liver would be determining if the blood or the liquid flow is on the side of the liver or if it is already on the side of the gallbladder. So anywhere where the sugar then gets stuck into the system, those systems can no longer function well. And what I'm describing now is separate from the whole pathology of diabetes. And as you might know, there's two types of diabetes. One is that a virus has wiped out the Langerhans cells in the pancreas, as a result of which the capacity to digest sugar is lost, as a result of which more sugar floats down in the bloodstreams and leads to the same kind of effect, that it starts to clog up the system. The microcapillaries in the fingertips being blocked, the eyes being blocked, blindness coming out, and the whole range of diseases that are associated with diabetes. Of course, the other form of diabetes is where people eat so much sugar that the body cannot produce the breakdown capacity to digest it. And again, you end up with too much sugar in the body. So if you look at diabetes type 1 or type 2, or the intake of sugar as a whole, then it is clear that the problem in most of that is that the sugars that people eat have changed from eating the carrots or eating the apples or eating the grapes to eating sugar by itself. And as some studies have looked at it, so well, why is there this fascination for eating sugar? Well, essentially, in the food thousand years ago, sugar would be very rare. Yes, it would come from flowers and from seeds and all of that, but there would be much more roughage and much more cellulose to come along with it. Nowadays, people have the problem that they need to actually eat roughage, which is cellulose, in order to be able to digest their food. If you turn the picture back in time, then you can see that our body is still looking for the food that we ate a long time ago, in which the cellulose was actually part of the food that we ate, and sugar was only a small component of that what was in it. And so by doing chemistry on the food, we ripped it apart. We were able to shift the proportions of what we take in. But as a result, the body no longer has the capacity to deal with these shifted proportions as then exist within the body. As I mentioned before, when we eat food, we actually have a spectrum of different components that we find within the food. And it's not that we have a list of different elements that we need to put into the body as nutrients, but we need to have that relationship between those ingredients so that together they are not data but information. And as I mentioned before, with these two molecules in the bramble fruit, there are synergistic effects which you only experience once these molecules are available in combination. So this brings me to the end of this story about sugar and sugar metabolism in our body, and the difference between the way we look at sugar in biology or medicine and the way we look at sugar in chemistry or physics, because we are essentially not dealing with sugar as a molecule or a concept or a marketable substance. In fact, it would be better to regard it as a drug. But we need to understand that sugar is an element of a wide spectrum of nature. And if you eat sugar by itself, it actually is a poison. As Paracelsus said, actually his name was Bombastus Paraphrastus von Hohenstein, whatever you eat, it determines on the amount of it if it is a poison or if it is beneficial. So the same is the case for sugar. And it is evident by now, most people know that sugar is a cause of many problems. What most people don't have is this background information, which you can easily find if you look around. Part of it is that sugar is only a part of this connection of molecules between the cellulose, the starches, the sugars, the ethereal oils and the alcohols. And on the other hand, it is that the metabolism of sugar needs to have this full spectrum. The complete sugar has these other elements in it so that the body can work with it. This may be one part which I would like to add to this, which has to do with the kind of molecules that are involved. And I would like to refer to a general principle only, which is that of the difference between ring molecules and rod molecules. Because if you look at the, for example, the relationship between the cellulose, the starches, the etheric oils and the alcohols, then at the level of the etheric oils you see a part of the sugar which is made explicit, in which the sugar is actually more related to information. The etheric oils, which are used in perfumes, and evidently it is used in nature very strongly because all of the flowers make use of those. We perceive the etheric oils because of the way the molecules have an infrared radiation which interacts with our nose. This is the work of Phil Callahan, who pointed that out. So we see at that level that our body actually knows and understands these molecules by the function that they have. And what's characteristic in etheric oils is that the ring molecule works as a resonator, like a singing of a wine glass. When you rub your finger on it, the ring molecule will have a specific frequency which is very stable, and in that way is a carrier wave for information into and out of the body. The rod molecule is much more like an antenna, like you have a stick and you flick it and it will vibrate, and the longer the stick, the longer the vibration, the lower the vibration frequency will be. So with the stick antenna, the rod antenna, you can attune the frequency, while with the ring antenna you can preserve a frequency. And this is something which is used in the body very much, and it plays an important role in our body. It is in that way that Rudy Labadie and the University of Utrecht was already realizing that we need to add a level of understanding to the way our body processes information. As Rudy Labadie indicated, this relationship between ring molecules and rod molecules is actually fundamental in serving as a kind of switch in regulating the processes of life. Have the ring for storage capacity, the rod for transformative capacity, but in the molecules you can find them together, which means that they are a relation between storing and transforming, which is already the essence of computation. So it is that understanding that our body is a computer, a supercomputer, which works with the computation of information, and that in that sense we need to think of what we take in not as nutrients or fuels in the way that it is often represented in the myth of food, but that we need to understand it as the ongoing story of nature and the tale that our environment tells us about what goes on around us and how we can deal with that. So in that sense, eating food is also learning, and that is also why it's important to have unrefined foods, because it is specifically the difference in the kind of compositions between the different food sources that we have, that the one apple is certainly different than the other apple because it's a different kind of information. And the wider the variety of apples that you eat, and the wider variety of fruits that you eat, and the wider variety of foods that you eat, the more your body can be informed about whatever else is going on around us. Because in that sense, yes, we have our sensory system, and we detect all these vibrations of different kinds of the surface of the body. The eyes take part of it, the ears take part of it, the nose gets part of it, the tongue gets part of it, the skin gets a part of it, and so on. Together, it is the whole spectrum of vibrations of the world around us. But for the cells in the body, they in a way live in the dark. So the only way that they get the information from the outside world is by unwrapping it, by taking in the food. As I've mentioned before, the gut is actually a way in and a way out. It is a pipeline through the body. So actually the content of the gut is outside of the body, and there is a very special way in which it is then taken into the body, and it is in that integration into the body that the body then needs to have the full information of the environment that food came from. And to think in just having a couple of nutrients that people would need is problematic, because it is the same mistake as is found in agriculture when they say that people need to give artificial fertilizer to the land, and it turns out that they actually provide only 5 of the 105 elements and trace elements that the soil needs. So instead, it is much better to understand that whatever the farmer now carts off the land, when the roots and the leaves and the stems and the fruits are transported to the city, and in the city they then have the problem of what do they do with all that part of the plant that they do not eat. Well, essentially it should have been left on the land, because that's where the land that gets fed, and the microbes in the land get fed, and that's why the land always rises up. So when they had to find Troy, Schliemann actually had to dig down. If you want to look into the past, you have to dig into the past, because the microbes in the soil will use what has fallen off the plants to create new soil, and thereby raise up the level of the earth on the planet. And it is that kind of process which still takes place within us. So in the transition, in the taking in of food, it is necessary to realize that we need to have the whole food, because it has a story of the environment within it. And if you have distilled or diffracted or reduced foods, then you have reduced information, but also you have a reduced capacity for the body to deal with it. Yes, indeed, this is a bit more than just talking about sugar. But in talking about sugar, as I mentioned before, we would be just talking about what happens in the liver and the say the fuel energy aspect of our body. All of the other organs are just as important, because together all of the organs form one organ. All of the organs together are able to process the flow of food and information from the outside world, as a result of which the food chain outside of us can continue as the food chain within us. But the example of sugar does help to understand very much that if you take molecules out of their context, then in a way you place our body out of context. As I mentioned, the Ayurvedic doctor saying that whatever you take away from the plant in producing the refined sugar will need to take out of your body in order to be able to digest it by the cells. So by that understanding, you then can see that even though the drug of sugar might be very appealing, it is nevertheless a drug and it is toxic. As the Scientific American article showed, for the Amadori conjugates, it is more than 100 diseases that come out of that. once you know that, of course you can change your decision on what you eat. And the counterpart of the story is then that the lesson that you can learn from sugar is the more varied the food that you eat, the more information your body gets about the world that we live in. And essentially that is where we come and have this experience of life, to learn more about what is, so that we can discover more about what we can be.